Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ.
We're a church which opens its arms to the leadership and participation of the LGBT plus community.
All are welcome here.
More than welcome here. This is home. We belong.
Will you pray with me? God, give us the courage today to set out into the deep waters. Amen. Has anyone ever been told that you needed to be saved, or you needed to be born again, or that something you were doing wasn't quite enough? You might remember from John chapter 3 that Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again," and Nicodemus thought maybe that meant he had to climb back somehow into his mother's womb. Ew. Thank goodness he was wrong. Now, I remember learning when I was just 19 that maybe I hadn't done enough of the right things, hadn't jumped through enough hoops. I had been going to church as a Roman Catholic all those years, and the nuns had taught me that if I just follow the sacramental system and I go to Mass every Sunday, that I'll probably get into heaven. It still might not be enough. But then I visited the Lutheran church, and they said, nope, that's all wrong. You have to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be saved, and then you'll get to heaven, and you'll be good enough. But then I went to the Church of Christ, and they said that was wrong. They said, well, that's the beginning, but you still have to be immersed in baptism. Your sprinkle baptism didn't count. Then I went to the Pentecostal church, and they said that was all wrong. The Pentecostals said I still needed to be baptized again by the Spirit with fire, and I had to speak in tongues and be sanctified, and then that might be enough. But then the Evangelicals said that was wrong. They said I had to stand on the Word of God and share the message with all nations and get everybody saved, and if I work hard enough and I do all those things, I'll be good. The Protestants, the liberal Protestants, they said, that was still wrong. I hadn't done enough. I needed to champion the causes of all the marginalized people in the world, and then maybe that would be enough. But Google says that's probably still wrong. I searched on Google how to get to heaven, and I got over 600 million possible answers. Repent, forgive, ask for forgiveness, be a Christian, be a disciple, follow Jesus. Then I searched for how to be a disciple, and I got only 75 million potential answers. Now, Google also reports there's over 33,000 Christian faith groups, and they all think they have something figured out about faith. We can't all be right, right? So what does it mean to each of us to actually follow Jesus? I think one of those answers is in our reading this morning, and it begins on a fishing boat. Now, last week, we remember that Jesus was in Nazareth, and he said so many wonderful things that the people wanted to kill him and try to haul him to a cliff and throw him over, but he escaped. So now he's back at the Sea of Galilee, which in the reading was called the lake. It's actually the same place, the Sea of Galilee. And along the way, he's teaching and preaching and healing people. And now the people are flocking to him, and the crowds are following him, and he's got to the Sea of Galilee, and the sea's at his back, and the crowd's in front of him, and he needs to create a little bit of space. And fortunately for him, Simon has a boat there, and James and John have their fishing boats. They've been out all night, haven't caught a thing. They're washing their nets, and their boats are empty. So Jesus asks Simon, "Can I use your boat as a pulpit?" So Simon gets in the boat, Jesus gets in the boat, and they get out in the water and gives Jesus a little bit of that space away from the crowd so that he can teach. I wanted to know, what is Jesus teaching from the boat? But that's nowhere in the story. It doesn't tell us at all what Jesus is teaching about. Instead, the story focuses on Simon. Jesus ends his sermon, not with a mic drop. He asks Simon to pull them back into deep water. "Let's fish," he says. And Simon, he has the most amazing answer to Jesus. He tells him the reason why he should say no, and then he says yes. He says, "We've been fishing all night. There's no fish out there. But because you say so, I will let down the net." And you know what happens. Simon is being curious and open. He's probably thinking, "I'm going to let this net down. I'm going to pull it up empty. And I'm going to say, see, Jesus, I told you there were no fish here." But of course, that's not what happens. He can't pull the net up. It's so full of fish. And Jesus is in the boat. I imagine he's trying to help too. Jesus can't pull the net of fish into the boat. They signal to James and John to come over with their boat, and they try to pull the net up with all the fish, and they end up knee-deep in their boats with fish. So many fish that the boats are beginning to sink. Have you ever been in a fishing boat? Anybody? Many years ago, Keith and I were in Florida, and he wanted to go on one of those charters, you know, where you go out onto the Gulf for 4 hours and you fish. And he convinced me that it would be fun. He said I should go too. And so I said, "Well, if you say so, I'll try it." It was the longest 4 hours of my entire life. I don't fish, so I just took a book. And the sun was relentless, and the wind was blasting, and the waves were pitching in my book. You know how you read like this? I couldn't even walk across the boat without holding on. He had a great time, by the way, but I could not wait to get off that boat. And then when we docked, they all start gutting their fish, and the pelicans are swarming us, and it smells horrible. Today we're on Simon's boat, but we are knee-deep in slimy, flipping fish. And Simon's not even looking at those fish. He's looking at Jesus. And he's looking at himself. And he says to Jesus, "Get off my boat. I'm not good enough for this. I'm in way over my head." My translation. But this moment right here is where the story for Simon starts. Have you ever been there when you had a choice before you, when something just gobsmacks you and you've got to think about it for a minute? This is where Simon is. He's looking at Jesus and he's thinking, "I can follow this person. I can see what he can do, but I could also just stay on my boat. I could go back to life just like normal. Nothing changes. I can be safe." Jesus sees this fear in Simon, but he also sees his potential. And it's this moment in our reading when our author of this gospel uses the name Peter, Simon Peter, because Simon is stepping into that role where he is going to be rock steady. He's going to be solid, but first he has to make this decision. Jesus is saying to him very simply, "If you act on your fear, you will stay trapped on this boat forever. Fishing a little, trying to get by, but if you follow me, you will catch people. You will change lives, and your life will be transformed." You see, when you make a decision to follow Jesus, it doesn't just affect you, it affects lots of people around you. This, to me, is discipleship. When we see the potential in us, when we take a risk on ourselves, when we say yes, even when it's a little bit scary, that's when discipleship begins. That's when we truly begin to follow Jesus. When I graduated from Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo many years ago, I thought it'd be a good idea to take a break between my bachelor and my master degrees. I thought a year or two. 25 years later, I was still yearning to go back to school. Somehow, through this odd many odd circumstances, can't even begin to explain it all. I enrolled at Wheaton College. I had been doing volunteer jail chaplaincy work in the Steuben County Jail, and I was really interested in doing their graduate program for jail chaplaincy. And Wheaton College, of course, is in Wheaton, Illinois, and I was in Indiana. So most of the classes were online, but there were three intensives, and the first class was an intensive on campus 5 days. So I bought a train ticket on the Amtrak and planned to go do this intensive. And my husband, you know, he takes me to the train station, kisses me goodbye, he gets in the car and starts to drive away, and I'm getting into this train. I've got one foot on one step and one hand on the bar, and I'm thinking, suddenly, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? You're 40-some years old. You've got three kids. You can't leave for a week. You can't do this. You can't be a student again. And I was terrified. And I looked back at my husband for some support, but he was already in the car. But at that moment, I thought, okay, I can get off this train, and I can get back in the car, and life will be the same. And then I realized, I can never do that. I have got to get on this train. I've got to make this happen. I have to do it. Something in me compelled me to get on that train. And I'll tell you what, if I had not gotten on the train, I would not be here today. Because that little moment, hesitating on the steps of the train, that was my moment of saying, I'm all in. I'm in the deep water. I'm ready to do what I need to do. I'm scared, but I'm going to do it because you said so. I will get on this train. The world needs people like Simon who are willing to say, because you said so, I will do what I know never worked in the past, but I'm going to trust you, God, that it's going to work this time. People who take a risk. People who are open and curious. You see, following Jesus is not about going to church. It's not about how many baptisms you have or what kind they are. It's not about a prayer. It's not about one time you did this one thing and you can check off the box. It's not a sacrament. It's not a dogma. It's not a teaching. It's not a belief or a doctrine of the church. It's none of those things. It's always in the small moments when we say, yes, I will, because you said so. I will. Now, it makes me think there are two potential problems with all this. One is, what if we look back on our lives and say, oh, right there, I should have done this differently. I should have said yes here, and I said no. I should have gone left, and I turned right. I should have. Let's not do that. That's all in the past. Listen instead to what we prayed today for our offertory prayer, that if we have blood pumping in our veins, the mission is still before us, because our God is not just a God of second chances, but of third chances, and fourth, and fifth, and it never stops, because God's mercies never end. There's always opportunity. It doesn't matter if you are 18 or if you are 81. There is something you can do. The second problem is, what is that? What is the thing we can do? It doesn't have to be anything grand. It can be the next right thing. Whatever presents itself that day, we can say yes to that. And you can be sure that many times it will make you uncomfortable. It will stretch you. You will not want to try. But that, I think, is what Jesus calls us to do. Now, if Jesus called me today to get off a fishy smelling boat and follow him, I would be off that boat in a red hot minute. I would walk on water to get off that boat. No problem. But Jesus usually isn't quite that clear. Now, discipleship, we now know, happens in those small moments, in small opportunities. Miriam showed us what it means to be a disciple by setting up a beautiful display for Black History Month. It's incredible. We'll post some pictures for those of you on Zoom so that you can see. Tony shows us what it is to be a disciple by coming here with us today and sharing about his passion. We're not all called to be Simon Peter, but we are all called. We are all called to do something. So today, I invite you to finish this sentence. Lord, because you say so, I will... What? Fill in the blank. What will you do? Do something. We don't have to earn God's love, but we do have to act. Because most of what is wrong with this world is because a lot of really good people do nothing, right? Lord, because you said so, today I will... Let's go in peace. Our service has ended. Thank you all for being here.